W.D. Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for Human Salvation. And now, Imam W.D. Muhammad. The following lecture by Imam Muhammad is entitled The Quran as the Foundation for Society, Part 1, recorded January 12, 1992.
Assalamu alaikum. Let it peace be on you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. We witness that there is but one God, the Lord, creator of all the worlds. We do not associate with him any as God or as the deity. And we witness that Muhammad, the last prophet, is God's messenger and servant. The peace and the blessings, the prayers and the peace be on him, and all of what follows of that excellent salute to Muhammad, the messenger of God. Ameen. Before going into my presentation for the day, I want to make a few comments to express again my joy over the very successful benefit that was given for Clara Muhammad School here in Oakland, the Evening of Elegance. I look forward to that every year. I don't think I've missed but maybe one or two if I missed any. One, I mean, I know I missed one, but not the, I think I missed only one, I believe. So I look forward to them, and when I don't come out here, believe me, I'm very disappointed. Wherever I am, you say, well, he's disappointed. I look forward to this. It's one of the best days in the year for us, for me to come here and witness the Evening of Elegance. Also, I think we should be Muslims, especially imams, we should feel very good over the guest speaker we had. You had, yes, Bishop Will. What is his name? Hirschfeld. Will Hirschfeld. I met him at the reception for Mr. Nelson Mandela. That was the first time meeting him, to my knowledge. And he recognized me. I guess he had seen my picture or something. And he came up to me, and I guess there was 100,000 people out there. And we were all right there under the cameras and things. But he seemed to have had no problem coming up and greeting me and embracing me, giving me a big hug and everything. So I said, well, a Christian bishop, a man and leader of the cloth that has that kind of admiration, brotherly love for us, to come in and greet me like that in the eyes of all the people. I said, I hope I see that man again. So I told him, I said, I hope we have an occasion to be with each other, to see each other. And we did, last night. Praise be to Allah. I had to make some comments that those things would have burdened me until I wouldn't have been able to do a good job here with this. Now I'm free to start. And I have a kind of introduction to my talk today. And my talk is going to be within the theme of the conference. All right? So I'm sure you'll be able to take excerpts from it, and I won't have to do that work that you know. I want to begin with this statement, and then I'm going to this book. This is an old publication. It's out of print. I mean, we've sold all of them, and we don't intend to print it again. It's As the Light Shineth. But I want to tell you, this is the most popular publication that Imam Bedruddin Muhammad has or has produced, this publication as the life signer, none has equaled this in distribution. We distribute four times. It sells is at least four or five times larger in number of copies sold than anything we've done. So I've already begun volume two. Yes. Praise you for life. And inshallah, it's going to beat this one, because I've grown up a little bit since then. Although I feel very comfortable with this. In fact, when I go back, I'm amazed sometimes myself. I said, did I say that? Now, my talk will be within this theme, the conference theme, the Quran as the foundation for society. You see, Quran is the foundation for society, for Muslim society, first of all. But whatever we know, that the hope of Muslims is to see what Allah has revealed become the way, the accepted way for all people. Muslims' hope is the same as humanity's hope. That's my statement. That's my opening statement. Muslims' hope is the same as humanity's hope. Now I want to read from this book. I got some glasses too, and I need them. If you are farsighted or even sighted, you're going to get one of the. Before you live around here long enough, you ain't gonna be even sighted always. You're gonna be farsighted or nearsighted. And usually those that are farsighted, as they get older, they get nearsighted. And those that are nearsighted, as they get older, they get farsighted. I want to read this little small portion of this book, As the Light Shineth, and it's titled, Human Nature is Black. Now, let me explain. Though it's going to be explained in the reading, let me explain before we began the reading that we don't mean black in actual color. We don't mean black in actual color. Now let me begin reading. It is very important for us to understand the idea of man being black before he was any other color. It doesn't mean physical blackness. Is talking about human nature. It's talking about intelligence potential. The intelligence potential is in darkness. It is born out of darkness. Just by its own potential, it's able to produce life. The intelligence of the human being in darkness without any knowledge, by effort in itself, or by itself, is able to bring about light or whiteness. Now here, we're using the term for color again, whiteness. So I must explain right here, or emphasize, because it's explained within this piece of reading, I believe, that by white we don't mean actual color white. Whiteness means light. Not physical light, the light of knowledge. Where did Dr. Farad get this concept? Now, who are we talking about, Dr. Farad? We're talking about the teacher of the late leader of the Nation of Islam, or the Lost Foundation of Islam, or the Black Muslims, Elijah Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad's teacher, who's called Farad. It's spelled F-A-R-D. But it's pronounced F-A-R-A-D, Farad. where did Dr. Farad, and he's called Professor Farad, he's called Dr. Farad, and he's called something that's forbidden, God in the person of the man, or God in the flesh, you know. And he's called by me the satirist in the wilderness, or in the forest. Where did Dr. Farad get this concept? Out of Genesis. Genesis says that there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, quote, let there be light, and there was light, end quote. So white came out of darkness, according to Genesis. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on him, speaking to his companions, pointed to Bilal. Now, who is Bilal? Bilal is the first muezzin, and muezzin, that term is an Arabic term. It's actually an Islamic term. See, I want the imams to start explaining more to our audience. When we say an Arabic term, if it's Islamic language, if it wasn't used before Islam, though it's Arabic, it is more correctly Islamic. Don't you call your names Christian names? And what were they? English names. But once they become part of your religion, the language of your religion, then those are Christian names. So let's not give the Arabic language or the Arab race or the Arab people more than they are due. They didn't have these terms before Islam, or before al-Islam. That's what we have to understand. So let me repeat that. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on him, speaking to his companions, pointed to Bilal, this is from a tradition, and said to them, we all are Bilal. What did he mean by that? That we all are Bilal. Black never in the history of the human rise in civilization was intended to mean skin blackness as a sign of inferiority. It was always intended to mean the blackness of human nature. Human nature is a dark form, but out of that form comes the light of intelligence and knowledge, the science and everything that lights the world. Where did it come from? It comes out of the dark matter of human nature. The Holy Quran says that God makes his man of, and this is translation, Hamim Mathnoon is translated, black, stinky mud, fashioned into shade. Gave him refinement, high principles, high human dignity, and then he, meaning God, gives him, meaning the man, something, and also the woman, something of his own inspiration. We may call divine inspiration. And he told the dry, rational-minded people who think that nothing can be or exist unless discovered with dry, rational tools or empirical instruments, that inspiration cannot come to man. God tells the dry-brained, rational so-called scientists in the Holy Quran, oh, God says, nevertheless, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, fall ye down and submit to him. What does this idea give us in the Quran? That man is made from black stinky mud. It means that certainly the human being has flesh odor, this physical flesh of ours. It will have an odor. It will have odor. If the earth is rich, doesn't it smell too? Now, you people from the south who farm, had gardens and worked in the farm, you know exactly. You had the pictures very clear and vivid for you. If the earth is dead like sand, does it smell? No. If the earth is alive, it is called humus. And doesn't it have a smell? Yes, it does. And the more smell it has, doesn't it do more work to grow more life? Yes. I'm adding these yeses in here. Noses. The smell is the sign of life. means something is alive there. Angel has no smell. We call it stinky. But in the nostrils of God, if we can think of God having nostrils, it is not stinking. It is a matter for aiding the growth of life. Do you think your sex stinks in the nostrils of God? It stinks only when you abuse it. Only when you degrade it. Abuse it. Have sex out of lawful marriage. Disappoint your mate, your good husband or your good wife. That's when sex stinks. And your body, do you think that when you sweat, the sweat bothers God? Do you think the must that comes from your body when you are working hard bothers God? No. God has made it to bother you, so you would do some washing. The Holy Quran frees our minds from those old, dark, primitive, savage kinds of concepts. It dignifies us and makes it possible for us to even live comfortable life in our own individual world. It unifies the man's physical life with his spiritual aspiration. It makes it possible for them, meaning the man, to shake hands with natural life and say, "Brother, I am glad to know that you are my Siamese twin, that we are one flesh," to a natural man, natural life. Yes, this is the religion. All praise are due to God, to Allah, that is. Dear beloved people, let us wake up. There is too much to be said to say it today. We'll continue at a future time, and I hope we'll continue where we're leaving off today. Go home, do your work, and have that you have to do in your home. Feed your children. Get ready for your tomorrow. But never put down the work of advancing this message. When I say your brothers and sisters, I'm using your language, your brother and your sister is any human, man, woman, or child on the face of this earth. We're talking in the context of what is human, what is truly human. Allah says, and I repeat, that he made us tribes and families that we should recognize or acknowledge each other and not despise each other. This is the word of God in the Quran. And God has said in the Quran that he has made all men, all people. He himself is the creator of every man, of all life, of everything. And he says that he has created the man in the best form, in the best mold, in the best design. And he says again that he has dignified all people on this earth. You don't need anybody to give you a false dignity.
Thank you for your financial support of Imam Muhammad's ministry and this radio broadcast. Your contributions are appreciated. Send your donations to the MACA Fund. That's MACA, the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.
This is the word of God in the Quran. And God has said in the Quran that he has made all men, all people. He himself is the creator of every man, of all life, of everything. And he says that he has created the man in the best form, in the best mold, in the best design. And he says again that he has dignified all people on this earth. You don't need anybody to give you a false dignity. Know your original nature and come into the guidance of God, and you will find that your dignity is a permanent, innate, inborn, original dignity. Nobody has to give you a false, artificial dignity. Now, I wanted to read that as an introduction to this talk or this presentation today. And by the way, this is, I forgot something and it's hanging in my mind too. There's a brother, and he impressed me so much. I was invited to come down to Pine Bluff, Arkansas, to see a new masjid construction built by the Pakistanis in that area. I understand that Pine Bluff is almost 50% us, African American. And the facility, the Pakistanis financed it, and they are actually the administrators there. They welcome all the other nationalities, which is Muslim. That's Muslim of anybody to do that. There's nothing but Muslim. And I saw it, and there I met a brother who did some of the iron work for them, the ornamental work for them. And he is one of the brothers, he and his wife, one of the constant supporters of the MACA fund. We call it the Mecca Fund, the Muslim American Community Assistance Fund. And he told me to be sure and give Imam Shuaib and his wife also, to be sure and give you and the Muslims the greetings of him. Yeah, I promised him I will do that. I promised him I would do that. And I learned that he has built a gate or something for the...
He sent the blueprints for us to choose.
Yeah, and he's going to donate that.
Free of charge.
I thought, beautiful. It looks beautiful. He showed me the drawing. It looks beautiful. Yes. So his name is my name. Warif D. Muhammad. Same name.
That's a fact.
That's true.
That is
yeah, that's
fact.
True. Here's his car. You want to see it? See it? That's how we looked at Farad. Just like that. Yes, yes. Now, I want to go back where with that statement that I made about our hope being the hope, same hope that we identify as the hope of humanity. And we identify this hope in the progression of Scripture, not just Scripture to Muhammad, but as Allah says in the Quran, Scripture also before Muhammad. that we believe in the Scripture revealed to Muhammad, and also that was revealed before him. Now let me make this very clear, which I believe most of us know, but some of us I don't think we have registered it. It is not only talking about the Bible that came before the Quran. It didn't say the Torah or the Old Testament and the Injil, the Gospel. It didn't say that. It says, and believe in that was revealed before you, meaning Muhammad the Prophet, or before your time. It means all Scripture, going back to Adam. If Adam received the word, it includes that. Whatever God has revealed to human beings in the whole time of the life of man and society on this earth, we have to acknowledge it and say we believe in that too. Though we don't even have it anymore, we can't go and find it and read it, but we must believe in it. When we believe like that, what it does for us? It puts our soul, our spirit, and our mind in good situation. But when we got a big dark area hanging behind us, it burdens the spirit, it burdens us, and we are not even aware of it. The Quran frees us in many ways that most of us will never know. Yes, let me continue now. The hope of humanity. I have his also. I say human creation, human creations, tradition of excellence is man's hope. That's his hope. There's a traditional excellence that we see evolving from the most primitive or the most backward days of man to the most modern or to the most advanced days of man. We see a tradition of excellence. Excellent behavior on the part of the family, the children, everybody. Excellent behavior on the part of the professional people, the builders, the grocery people, the commercial people. Excellence on the part of government. Excellence. This is the excellence that we hope for. It's evolving. It gets better and better all the time. Though we are now perhaps a burden more than human beings have been burdened any other time, but our burden now is more the burden of stress. We are living a stressful life, perhaps more so than the human beings have ever lived on the whole any other time in the life of man. But that doesn't mean that our conditions are worse. Our conditions are better now than at any other time than we could read of or imagine. Yes. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. We have plenty. And especially we. Now, a term in Scripture, light, is found in Genesis and also in the Quran. Now, I'm going to go to Genesis and see, can we interpret this term light? Genesis says, darkness was covering everything. There was only darkness. The earth was void, without form, and the darkness, everything dark. Says, and God says, and there was darkness upon the water. The waters were dark. And darkness says, God says, let there be light, and there was light. So where did the light appear? In the water. Says the Spirit moved along the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Quran mentions water and darkness also. It gives a parable, and it says the likeness of the darkness is as the water. Darkness upon darkness, levels of darkness. Now, those who have stood by deep water, a lake, even a pond sometimes, or a lake, at night, when it's very dark, and you look at the water, you can see that on the top of the water is lighter, and the darkness is more, is depth. The deeper you go, the darker it is to your eyes. And I guess this is very dark down there. The depths of the dark is very dark. And it says that the Spirit moved on the face of the water. Now, I'm doing an interpretation here. You can accept it or reject it. That's not what I'm working for. I didn't come here to work for you to accept or reject me. All right. Now, it says moved upon the face of water. So let us see the face of the water now as the part having the most light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And everything became light, right? Everything became light. So he rose up a light for the day, and he set in the heavens the light for the night. Now, we know that to be the sun and the moon. So here we must understand then also that the sun and the moon in Scripture are not really that sun out there, and that moon we may see tonight. It's talking about another sun and the moon. Though God, we did make that physical sun that we see in the day when the clouds permit us to see, and we that moon at night. We know God made that, but what do we need a prophet to come tell us that for?
primitive man running around in a cave. You know, if he had a name for God, he's God, real God, oh God. You know, if it was too hot for him, oh God, cool it, cool it. So we didn't need no great prophet, no great mind, no super intelligence to come and tell us God made the sun and God made all this. Man knows that by nature.
Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaks. Join us again next week for Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.
End of side one. At this time, please turn cassette over to continue on side two.
You are listening to the World Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. And now, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. The Sensemaker presents Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. This new book is must reading for everyone, which gives a concise and historical understanding of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad's new book is filled with photos and graphics and words of wisdom that appeals to common sense. Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Order your copy by sending a check or money order for $7.95 plus $150 shipping and handling to The Sensemaker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's The Sensemaker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. For more information and wholesale rates, call 312-243-7600. That's 312-243-7600. Get this dynamic new book from Imam W. Dean Muhammad, The Sense Maker. The following lecture by Imam Muhammad is entitled The Quran as the Foundation for Society, Part 2, recorded January 12, 1992.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And everything became light, right? Everything became light. So he rose up the light, light for the day. And he set in the heavens the light for the night. Now we know that to be the sun and the moon. So here we must understand then also that the sun and the moon in scripture are not really that sun out there. And that moon we may see tonight. It's talking about another sun and the moon. Though God, we did make that physical sun that we see in the day when the clouds permit us to see. And we that moon and night. We know God made that. But what do we need a prophet to come tell us that for? Primitive man running around in a cave. You know, if he had a name for God, he's God, you're God, oh God. You know, if it was too hot for him, oh God, cool it, cool it. So we didn't need no great prophet, no great mind, no super intelligence to come and tell us God made the sun and God made all this. Man knows that by nature. His nature tells him that something did this and is bigger than I am, must be God. He calls it something by some name, and when we interpret that name, we find that he means a God. Now I'm coming to another term, kingdom. People have hoped for a kingdom, a righteous and just kingdom to come. And in both scriptures, this hope is addressed. In the Bible, a prayer is given, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does the Quran address this kingdom? As the throne. And it was recited today by Imam at the beginning of the meeting. It is addressed as the throne. And the Quran says of the throne that His throne, meaning Allah's throne, or God's throne, extends over the heavens and the earth. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ That His throne extends over the heavens, the skies. سَمَاوَاتِ doesn't mean heavens. Heavens is English. سَمَاوَاتِ means the skies. Literally translated, correctly translated, His heaven expands the skies. His throne, pardon me, expands the skies and the earth. Wal-ard. and the earth. And there's more there to that, but that's outside of this subject, which I would like to talk about, because we need it bad in this world. But I'm not going to burden you with more time, give you too much outside of it. I'm trying to stay within the limits of this talk. Now, so kingdom. What is a man's hope for a kingdom? We're talking about man's hope, the traditional hope of the human excellence of man, that tradition of human excellence. It also is the hope of man. And I'm saying again that a kingdom, a certain kingdom, is the hope of man. And all of these are saying, when we hope for that traditional excellence to become better and better and be fulfilled for us on earth, I'm saying that it's the same is the same as the hope for a kingdom, that special kingdom, to come on earth. And also, it is the same as that hope for light. Now, the Genesis doesn't say man was hoping for light, but God saw his condition and said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. It is the same as the hope for light. All this is the same. Now, I want to come to something else. It is destiny. Destiny. Also called divine destiny. I'm saying that that's another term or another expression for that same hope. In the tradition of classical civilization, which is nothing but another language of classical scripture. I don't have the Quran. I was going to raise the Quran up. This is not the Quran. It's supposed to be put down and the Quran raised up. Now, let me continue. Now, the destiny. What is the destiny? Do we have a term for this destiny? Yeah, here's the Quran. Yes. So it is the same. The Quran and the scripture will have one language and civilization has another, but it's the same. This destiny in Islamic Quranic term is called Al-Akhirah. 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 What is Al-Akhirah? It is the translated by translators as the hereafter. It is translated also as the ladder. A more direct translation is given as a ladder. The ladder. The former will be al-awl in Arabic. And the latter will be al-akhirah, the latter. So it's translated like that. And hereafter is not Quranic. Hereafter is not Arabic. Hereafter is English. Understand that. There's nothing in this word that says hereafter. This word says latter, the end, the latter, what's coming later. That's all it says, what's coming later. Former and what's later, or former and the latter. What is the latter, or the end, or the death that's coming, yet to come? What is that for us in another expression? The future. That's what it means, the future. We should believe in the future, but not just any future. It is the future that God intends for us. We should have faith in the future that God intends for us. So this word al-akhirah, if I was going to translate the Quran, and I do plan to do that, and I am doing it piece by piece, or bit by bit as I can find time, and as God blesses me to do it, I would translate this term, not hereafter. I would say those who believe in the future. And in my commentary, I would say the future designed for man by God. Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater. I'm saying that to the wise and to the fools. That means Allah is greater. Yes. You know, some of the people who have the biggest idea of their own wisdom are the biggest fools you can find. Now I'm going back to the Bible, to the New Testament. Again, speaking of that kingdom, the promise of a kingdom to come. And I want you to quickly look at the expressions of that in the prophets, John and Jesus. Peace be upon John and Jesus Christ. John came alarming the people, didn't he? According to the New Testament, this is not Islam, this is not the Quran. We know the Quran presents it differently. John came alarming the people. Repent! Why he wanted them to repent and then I hear it. The kingdom of God is coming. See, we forget sometimes that it wasn't Jesus who announced the kingdom of God. It was John who announced the kingdom of God. And then Jesus came as a sign. And Jesus, the prophet Jesus Christ, he demonstrated in his own action, he demonstrated what should be the spirit of that kingdom of God. He started bringing to the conscience of people, even his own people, the Jews, who thought of themselves as the favorite people. And I'm using the language, the common language. You know, we don't say Jesus was a Jew. Technically speaking, no prophet of God was a Jew.
Right.
Technically speaking.
Right.
No prophet of God. Now, I'm technically speaking. I'm speaking as a Muslim now. Now, you all will allow me to speak as a Muslim too, right?
Yes,
okay. Technically speaking, no prophet was a Christian. Technically speaking, every prophet was no more than what we are, a Muslim. And what is a Muslim? We introduced the Muslim in the very beginning of this talk, when we introduced the tradition of human excellence. That is the Muslim. Just the human excellence of man, that's Muslim. And God ain't asked nobody to do nothing for him unless they were first in that human excellence.
Thank you for your financial support of Imam Muhammad's ministry and this radio broadcast. Your contributions are appreciated. Send your donations to the MACA Fund. That's M-A-C-A, the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.
And what is a Muslim? We introduced the Muslim in the very beginning of this talk, when we introduced the tradition of human excellence. That is the Muslim. Just the human excellence of man, that's Muslim. And God ain't asked nobody to do nothing for him unless they were first in that human excellence. So before going on from here, I want to make it clear again that by future and hereafter and destiny, we are talking about the hope for the traditional excellence of humanity, of man, to be fulfilled on this earth. Now I come to another expression, faith. Faith. F-A-C-E. We read in Scripture where the hope of man is also, we say man, we mean woman and man. A society, that's what we mean when we say man. We mean society, which is woman and man. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I see how you picked it up right quick. I see that. I got his vibe from behind me there. And that's not spooky, that's real, that's human too. Yes, so we look in Scripture, I mean Scripture before Quran, scriptures before the gospel, before the New Testament. And we read where the hope of the oppressed people was to see the face of their Lord, the face of God. What did face mean to them? You think they were asking to see the face of a white man? No. That's not what they were hoping for. When they were talking about the face of God, they were talking about just what you say to each other when you're speaking of somebody that you miss, or somebody that you wish was still living, or somebody that you wish was around near you in your town that's in down south somewhere to help you in your moments of great need. And you say, if I could only see her face. You don't mean her physical face. You mean her presence. And you want her presence because she has something that you need in her makeup to comfort you, or in her treatment that you need. So that's why. So when people say they wanted to see the face of God, they wanted to see God's presence. And his presence was just not for his presence per se. No. They wanted his presence because his presence provided what they need. They felt that his presence would fulfill their need. And they were talking about what? Kingdom. What is kingdom? Rule. R-U-L-E. So when they said they wanted to see the face of God, they meant we want to see the rule of God on earth. We are sick and tired of this oppressive rule. We want to see God's rule on this earth. We see your face, O King.
That's right.
And we don't like it.
That's right.
See, face mirrors the person's makeup to you and tells you what you can expect from that person.
That's right.
You know, when you go to a person and you need something, first thing you want to do, we want to look at his face. Hey, man, turn around. Man, look at me, man. They talk to me, baby. They look at me. Don't turn your head. You want to read that face. So I'm saying that face is just another symbolic term representing the just order, the just rule, the just government that the people hope for on this earth. Now, isn't that a great disservice to that powerful message to show the people a white man and say that's what they were hoping for? Now, I'm not prejudiced against a white man. You know that. I risked your love and your allegiance to tell you that that's wrong. Now, just so we know what time of day it is, I'm going to kind of change, go off from the subject. What they call it, digress a bit, huh?
Yeah,
digress. You know, you have to, sometimes you have to walk away from it and pick up something and then bring what you saw over there you need back to the path of direction and keep going. Now, just to show you what time of day it is, while the white European American, and every time I use white and black, please see quotation marks. Because white in the dictionary means pure. It means light. It means a whole lot of things that most white people are not. And black in the dictionary means ignorant, bored, empty, dead, dull, sinful, and a whole lot of, and much more that I can't repeat our quote for you. That just can't apply to most black people. To some, yes, but not to the many. Now, while we are celebrating almost, now I know most of our political leaders, they are not celebrating. Black caucus, they are not celebrating this. Black caucus members, they are not celebrating this. Most of our popular preachers in the churches, they're not celebrating it. Some of our oppressed imams, they ain't celebrating. But I know I am, and a group that's with me, we celebrate a change for the better in America. We recognize that we are living in a better situation today than we were living in 30 years ago. We're not going to close our eyes to that reality. But while we differ maybe in the way that we respond to change for the better on the part of the behavior of whites, in quotation always, we do share the burden of a continuation of that old misrepresentation and mistreatment of us. The Japanese, and I won't explain for them why they do this, but we know the Japanese have been guilty of reawakening some racist idea about us. Giving support to some of the diehard racists, you know, with the language they use and the expressions they make. And we read where they have Sambo dolls, popular Sambo dolls, being sold in Japan. So we just can't say that this problem is over. It ain't over. We celebrate change for the better, but we realize there's still work to do. Not on them. That's the mistake that most of our leaders make.
That's right.
Time is out for asking for more change in them.
Right.
On us.
Right.
Now we should realize also that, and by the way, I try to catch Tony Brown's journal as often as I can. And that's where I got this information about the Japanese selling dolls to Sambo dolls. Tony Brown, my little short brother that's awfully tall. Now this is important too, that we realize this, that there have always been good Caucasian, European American, white people in this part of the world, in the New World. They didn't just come here, they always been here. They were oppressed too, when a majority of them did the evils and were successful in establishing the order of white supremacy that they were successful in. Their own people were oppressed too. They never liked it, and many of them have died from the thought of that evil to the finish of that evil. Many of them died. John Brown is one of them. They call him a madman. But he died because he was fed up with that evil, and he wanted to make a physical demonstration, sacrifice himself and whoever would help him fight it for the sake of demonstrating his rage at something even existing like that in the country. Now, not only that, these people we call white, they didn't just God accepting us. Look, when we were free, according to history, the first church headed by one of our people was established in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania by Richard Allen, and it's called the African people's church in America. He established it, and from the moment he established, he began preaching, his congregation was not just black or just recently liberated people from slavery. No, he attracted also whites. They described his congregation as being a congregation that had an appreciable mix of both black and white. That tells you a lot. How many of us would have the courage, if we were white, to go and join a congregation of a black man who had just been liberated from slavery, that most of the whites thought was a monkey and should still be in chains.
Right.
How many of us, if we were white, would have the courage to go and listen to that man preach? So what I'm saying to you, that we need to give intelligent study to the behavior of white people, not just bad whites, but good whites. And it's more important now for us to give the make a study of the behavior of good white people in the history. Because we know all about the bad, and there are people that ain't going to do nothing but talk about the bad. So we don't have to do that. We need to focus on the thing that they're not focusing on. The good people in our history, and especially the good whites, that died, many of them, because they wanted to demonstrate their moral rage. Within the theme, the Quran as the foundation of society, or for society. Let me continue. The Quran speaks of the face of God, the throne of God, but also of the face of God. And in the Quran, which is the word of God, unchanged, perfect, God also speaks of his face. And he says that there's coming a time when nothing shall exist. Everything is going to perish and vanish. But the face of God, the Most High. All right, let's move on. We gave Genesis, right? We gave some reference from Genesis. Now let me give something that I think is a kind of Genesis language, if not Genesis, because we have nothing called Genesis. For us, the Genesis is Quran.
Yes.
That's the Genesis. The whole Quran for us is Genesis. And a Genesis that represents the second birth, the life that will remain, is not going away. Man is born, he dies, but if he lives again, he lives without dying. So we believe that once we live in Islam, obeying the Quran, following the example in the Sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet, that we have the life that will not perish and will not die. That is for us eternal life. Now you could have some stirrings inside you if you like. But I don't have any stirrings inside me. I'm perfectly at peace. Yes. Yes. Now, we have some language in the Quran that suggests to me a kind of Genesis. And I'm going to start with that language now. Allah explaining how this religion comes about. Al-Islam, how the Quran itself comes about, how the religion itself comes about. He tells us that this religion is not an unconnected happening. This is no unconnected occurrence. As concerns scripture itself, Quran, Bible, and other scriptures, it is a fulfillment, a completion for that long history or tradition of revelation. It is a completion or a fulfillment. As for the prophets, it is also a fulfillment. It is their hope. The prophets had a hope. They had a hope that God would fulfill his promise on the people. So for them, it is also fulfillment. And what is the language for us? Kaf in that. Speaking of Muhammad, he is enough for humanity. Enough, what is he referring to? Enough for humanity. Is he referring enough as a general in the army? Enough as a statesman in the government? Yes, but much more. man has hope for the fulfillment of human excellence in one of his children, so that that child can establish the order God intended. And Muhammad is enough. Telling man, stop hoping for another son.
Right.
Stop hoping for another child.
Right.
You got enough in this man
Allah
to fulfill your hopes on this earth.
Half
it and then now. He's enough for the whole of humanity as their hope for a son. And what Jesus was assigned to, wasn't it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Says, and that he, the government will be upon his shoulders. Right? Meaning Jesus Christ. Peace be upon him. The government will be upon his shoulders. So here's the hope for a man, a son, that will be able to support, carry the idea of government that was the dream or the aspiration of humanity since we have been on this earth.
Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaks. Join us again next week for Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.